First responders, police officers, and just EMTs, and all those folks that just serve and do so well. Some have given the ultimate sacrifice. Some have given their life for the cause, for the purpose. And this is the weekend we remember that. Tomorrow will be a day when there will be lots of ceremony. There will be lots of red, white, and blue, lots of singing, and lots of flags, and lots of tears. Some tears of gratitude and some tears of sorrow, still missing those that have passed on. It's a great weekend to remember and to celebrate and to honor. So today we're going to talk about honor. The notes are in your bulletin there and in your folder if you want to pull those out. They'll be up here on the board behind me also. But honor isn't honor because you think it is. It is only honor when the other person feels honored. And I want us to think about that for a minute. If we're not careful, we put our idea of honor on others, and we say, you should feel honored because I did this, said this, didn't do this, or didn't say this. You should feel honored. But honor is only honor if the other person feels honored. Got any military men and women in the crowd today? Why don't you stand up? If you were in the military, stand up. Give them all a big hand, would you please? Thank you, gentlemen and ladies, for serving. We appreciate it. I'm sure some of you have comrades that just aren't here today because they gave the ultimate sacrifice, and we honor that and celebrate that today. But when I think of the military, my son-in-law, Josh, just got out of the Air Force this last fall, and they'll let you know what honor is and what honor isn't, right? Am I right? You don't get to define honor yourself. They teach you this is honor. This is how you will do it. This is how your posture will be. This is how your uniform will be. This is how you will act in these certain situations. And they describe to you what honor is and what honor isn't. How we honor God is defined by God, not us. If we're not careful, we'll say, well, God, you should feel honored because But God says, no, 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 I'm the one that determines how you honor me. You don't get to determine that. The soldier doesn't get to determine the rites and the rituals and the formalism that's in the service and in the military. They conform, period, right? Or else. And God is talking to us also about, you don't get to determine how you honor me and say that that's honor. I get to determine that. And we say, okay, God's God, and so he has that right and privilege. But we need to break that down, I think, even more into some of our relationships. How we honor our spouse is defined by them, not us. I want you to think about that for a minute. I love the book, The Five Love Languages, and I love how it just lets us know that different people have different ways where they feel loved and where they communicate love. And it could be one of those five. It's acts of service, physical touch. When I try to say these from memory, I mess them up. What's that? Gifts. Affirmations, words of affirmation, and quality time, right? So those are different things that different people have. And if we're not careful, we can spend a ton of time. I'm definitely an acts of service person. So if I'm going to try to show you that I love you, I'm going to do stuff for you. And that's my expression of love. But if your love language is quality time, you're going, bummer, you do a lot of stuff for me. You never spend any time with me, so I don't feel loved. So your spouse gets to define what it is that makes them feel honored, not you. Hey, I bring home the bacon. You cook it up in the pan and we'll all be happy. No, that isn't how it works. The spouse gets to define that. So husband or wife, the other person gets to define what it is that makes them feel honored, loved, and taken care of. How about your children? You don't get to even define how it is that your children feel honored. They get to define that. And the Bible gives us some clarity about don't provoke your children to wrath. You know, the Bible has some great verses about clarity of parenting, but you need to know that your children want to feel honored, but they get to define that, not you. And of course, we can guide him. It's not the new iPhone is not how you're going to feel honored. I'm sorry. Maybe you're a gift person, but we'll do something besides the iPhone, you know. And you know, we can't let the children don't dictate the world. That's for sure. Parents do, and grandparents, of course, right? Amen. Yeah. Come on. Power to the grandparent. So let's break that down a little bit. How we honor our military, our first responders, our public servants is defined by them, not us. I want you to think about that a little bit. Yesterday I was at a graduation. They're doing the national anthem. They ask everybody to stand. They ask everybody to remove their hats. They ask everybody to look at the flag, put their hand over their heart. Some did, some didn't. I noticed some walked in late. And you could tell they were late. They were hurrying. They were rushing. So we're in the middle of the national anthem. People are standing with their hats removed and their hands over their heart. And then we got people just bursting into the room, looking for a seat, wearing their hat, and talking. And I'm just going, I'm pretty sure that they are not intentionally trying to dishonor the event or the nation or the flag. But they were just in a different world, a different mindset for that moment. And they were dishonoring. And I got to thinking a little bit about that. Sometimes we're dishonoring and we don't even mean to be, but we're just unaware. We're just unaware. I've said things before that was very dishonoring to certain people. And I wasn't trying to be. But in their world and from their perspective, that was so dishonoring. See, I don't get to determine that. They do. And then as I got to thinking about that, in the notes I might have put a couple sentences about it. If you want to increase your honor, or if you realize that you are not honoring as well as you could or should, and you want to do better, how would we do that? I again go back to the military this weekend. I think a lot about the military. I think a lot about our fallen soldiers and warriors. And I think that they are immersed in an environment and they learn honor in a strong way. And I got to thinking, Lord, if we're dishonoring you, maybe we need to immerse ourselves in your environment so that we can learn how to honor you in a much better way. Maybe if we're dishonoring to our spouse, we need to immerse ourselves in their environment, learn their perspectives, learn the what and the why, get their heart so that we can learn how to honor them better. Maybe if it's a parenting issue, maybe you need to get into their world and immerse yourself into their world, their viewpoints, their way of thinking, how life is for them at their age and at their station in life. It's different than when I was 16, right? You know, just a couple years ago. It's different when I was 16 than it is today. And my parents knew it was different when they were 16 than when I was 16. So to honor them, I might need to immerse myself in their world. Just, I want to give you some things to walk away and think about today as we're talking about honor. I definitely want you to connect with our our service people and their ultimate sacrifice. I want you to connect with some of your loved ones and family and friends that are gone. Just remember and honor their life, their contributions. But I also want you to enlarge your world of how do you honor people around you that are here right now? How do you honor God better than you've ever honored God before? And I want to enlarge that a little bit for us today. Honor should be a daily habit or routine that has a parade or a special ceremony a few times a year. I was just thinking, how could I define a little bit of honor? We should pack honor around with us 24/7, 365. We should carry honor with us. We should carry it in our heart. But there should be a couple times a year when we have the parade, when we have the ceremony, when we, at the appropriate time, let the tears run out of the corners of our eyes and our posture and our stance. It could be a military stance, or it could be a broken stance, but our stance symbolizes, when we're doing the Pledge of Allegiance, our stance should symbolize the honor. But our posture should symbolize, a few times a year at least, the great honor and respect that we carry every day. Every day. In Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, I want to read this out of the New Living Translation for you today. God is speaking, he says, "And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." I want to think about that for a minute. God is saying, they say words of honor, they say they're my people, they say that they're following me, they say that I'm their God, they say that with their lips, but their heart, their actions are so dishonoring to me. See, honor has to start in the heart. It's hard to project it when it doesn't really exist inside of you. What I love about military folks is it's inside them. It has been transplanted into their psyche, into their heart, into their being, that honor. And I love that. And I love that so much. Look at the next thing that God says here. Their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by I wrote. Just tradition instead of experience and reality. God's saying, I don't want you to honor me with religious tradition. I want you to honor me with reality, with relationship, with your heart. That's what I'm looking for. He says, because of this, I will once again astound these hypocrites with amazing wonders. The wisdom of the wise will pass away. The intelligence of the intelligent will disappear. What sorrow awaits those who try to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their evil deeds in the dark. And this is their quote, "The Lord can't see us," they say. "He doesn't know what's going on." So God's talking about real hypocrites here. I don't think everybody that is termed a hypocrite is really a hypocrite, personally. I think that word is used way too much, and it's applied in way too broad of a sense. God is talking about hypocrites who are people who are really trying to be deceptive. They're really trying to project something they're not and play a game, but their heart is totally different. I know people that fail. I know people that make mistakes. I know people that stumble around, but their heart is still loving of God. Their heart still wants to please God. I don't call that person a hypocrite. The person I would call a hypocrite is the person who is really evil, but is trying to act righteous. They're trying to play this game. They're trying to put on this persona like a wolf in sheep's clothing, something like that. So we toss around that word a lot, but God is saying these are people who honor me with their lip, but their heart is so far from me. Only you know your heart, only you and God. I don't know your heart. I look at the outside, you look at the outside, and we can guess and wonder, but God does know your heart. God does know if you love Him and if you honor Him and if you really want to have a relationship with Him. He knows that, and He loves it when He sees that that reality is there. So He's talking to these real hypocrites, and they're saying God doesn't see, God doesn't know. In verse 16 it says, "How foolish can you be? He is the potter. He is certainly greater than you, the clay. Your Creator is greater than you." God sees. God knows. You will not trick God. I remember when I was like 16, 17, I was reading verses like this and studying this concept of God being omniscient or all-knowing. And I go, oh, He's all-knowing, huh? So now God's going to think I'm thinking that, but I'm going to change my mind real quick and think that. Then I got to thinking, but God knew I was going to change my mind, so I'm going to change my mind again real quick. And finally, in my 16-year-old head, I finally just realized God's smarter than me. He's Creator. He knows everything. And I will not fool Him. I will not fool Him. Should the created thing say of the one who made it, "He didn't make me"? And we got people today in our society, in our generation, saying, there is no God, there is no Creator, nobody made us. And we had a great video the last couple of weeks, you know, describing the amazing universe that we live in, this amazing planet, and how it all works together, and only a Creator could do that. It was a great video, great teaching there. And God says a little bit stronger, this last piece that I wanted to read. Does a jar ever say, "The potter who made me is stupid"? I've never heard a jar say that. Never heard a piece of pottery say that. And yet sometimes we're capable of accusing God, blaming God, and thinking God doesn't know what He's doing, and it's okay to wonder what He's doing, but we should honor Him as Creator, as the only wise, intelligent one, the one who gives us our breath and our life. We should honor Him the way He says we should honor Him, not the way we want to honor Him. So you can't fake honor, you can't fake love, you can't fake that mature respect that we should be gaining in our life. One of the most honoring things Jesus ever did was become one of us in order to rescue us. You know, we know John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. We love that verse, but do you know how honoring it is for Jesus to come and rescue us? Do you know what He must think about you and I? I mean, love is one thing, but today we're talking about honor. Do you know how honoring it is? Arby talked about it already this morning. Do you know how honoring it is for God to become one of us in order to rescue us? How do we honor others? You know, one thing I say when I'm doing marital counseling, and then we talk about the husband is supposed to love his wife like Jesus Christ loves the church. One of the things I say is, you're supposed to leave your world and get into her world and then jump upon a cross and die for her. If you're going to love your wife like Christ loves the church, get out of your world, get out of that detached garage. Mine's attached, Steve. Praise the Lord. I do have a fire door in between the two, though, in case Carrie gets hot. I don't know. Get out of my world. Get into her world. Understand that. And jump upon a cross and die for her. What does that mean? Meet her needs. What is it going to take to honor her and meet her needs? What's it going to take? See, honor is what the other person says it is. It's not what you say it is. It's not what you say it is. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. You guys ever watch Name That Tune? Anybody ever watch Name That Tune? It's like, I can name that tune in three notes. I was looking at the sermon today and thinking about all of the things that are going on in the big weekend, and I thought, I can preach that sermon in 20 minutes. We'll see if I can do it. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. There's that word again, huh? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. We're going to define some honor here. There's several definitions of honor in these verses. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. When you honor people, you give preference to them when you're honoring them. So I don't feel like standing up. Well, you should stand up anyway and give preference to this event. I don't feel like taking my hat off. You should take your hat off anyway and give preference to the national anthem. You should do that anyway. So it's giving preference. And we can do that in our relationships also, for sure. Excuse me. Not lagging in diligence. Being lazy is not very honoring. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Not lagging in diligence. When you said you would do that 2 days ago, 2 weeks, 2 years ago. I'll get to it. Leave me alone. Some of you are going to get some more honey-do list going. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Sometimes I don't think we're near fervent enough in our spirit. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, that's honoring. When you're patient in tribulation, that's honoring. Continuing steadfast in prayer, that's honoring to God. Distributing to the needs of saints, that's honoring. Giving to help other people. Given to hospitality, that's honoring. It's so honoring. Have you ever been around somebody who's hospitable? Don't you feel so honored? Here, sit in this chair. Would you like something to drink? Here's a crumpet with your tea. I don't even know what a crumpet is, but it just kind of come out. It's like, here's a Twinkie with your Kool-Aid. Here's a Twinkie with your Kool-Aid. There, that's some North Idaho hospitality right there. Bless those who persecute you. That's honoring. Well, I don't have to honor them. They're mean. Really? Is that what the Bible says? You only honor nice people? You only honor honorable people? The Bible is really clear that you should honor all people. Not just the people you think are honorable. That one hurts a little bit. I know. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That'll help some of you right there. Do not curse. Get rid of them four-letter words. Quit. That's not honoring. It's not honoring. I know freaking is not a four-letter word, but it's a good substitute for one. Maybe occasionally we say stuff like that, but think about your words and how dishonoring they might be. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. It's very honoring to celebrate with people that are celebrating. Yesterday at the wedding and graduation, we're just having a good old time rejoicing with those who are rejoicing. Tomorrow will be a day to weep with those who weep as they remember those that they've lost and visit cemeteries and grave sites. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. That's honoring if you're not egotistical and braggadocious and wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Well, God said turn the other cheek, but he didn't say what to do after that. Yeah, he did right here. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, a little disclaimer there, if it's possible, but that phrase doesn't mean your attitude. That phrase deals with their attitude. So be careful when you think about that. If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Be very honoring to people. Don't avenge yourself. Give place to wrath. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. He gets really strong in the last couple verses. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. That's very honoring. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. In so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. My pastor said, and I hope it burns his brains out. But that wasn't the concept. The concept was that it would make him question his own attitude because you're being so nice to him and honoring him or her. Usually it's the girls, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm going to go to my garage now. Thank you. Verse 21, do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And then 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 20. I'm just going to read a couple of those, a couple of application verses here regarding leaders and elders. 1 Timothy 5, 17. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. An elder or a leader who rules well is worthy of double honor. One portion of honor just because of their position. Another portion of honor because they're doing a good job with their authority and responsibility. So double honor. Everybody deserves a baseline of honor. Everybody should have a baseline of honor. Whatever their race is, whatever their gender is, whatever their physical capabilities are or are not, everybody deserves a baseline of honor. Amen? Everybody does. Should get rid of prejudice if you're a Christian. You should get rid of gender issues, you know, of picking on the girls or picking on the boys if you're a Christian. You should honor age discrimination. You should honor the youngest to the oldest. Everybody deserves honor. Everybody deserves honor. I'm just going to run right to the final thoughts here. We're told to honor our mother and our father. Honor God, honor the elderly, honor the children, honor all people, and honor our national leaders. The Bible tells us to do all of that. Sometimes we like to pick and choose, but the Bible tells us to do all of that. Honor is the way of God, and it should be the way of Christians. Everyone deserves a baseline of honor. Some deserve much more because of their sacrifice and their contribution to the greater good. So there are people that are worthy of double honor, maybe triple and quadruple honor. There are people worthy of extra honor because of what they do, of how they've done it, and how they've contributed to the greater good. But our God deserves our highest honor, right? He deserves our highest honor. He does. The last thought. God loves to honor us, too. I mentioned it a little earlier. How honoring is it that Jesus came to rescue us? But God loves to honor us. The Bible has many stories. If you're faithful in the small things, I'm going to make you ruler over many things. You did good with the five, I'll give you 10, plus the one the guy didn't care about. I'm going to keep multiplying and honoring you. God loves to honor us. If we will humble ourselves and serve Him and serve people around us, God will honor us. If you humble yourself, He what? He exalts you. If you try to exalt yourself, what's going to happen? He's going to humble you. We're reading the book of Jeremiah as a church. I hope you're keeping up with us, doing your daily Bible reading. But God was humbling that nation in that book. So the last sentence here, God loves to honor us for our faith, our accomplishments, and our purity. How are you doing with your faith? How are you doing in your producing fruit? How are you doing with that? Well, we're not saved by works. Of course we're not saved by works. But you'll be rewarded for your works. And your works is fruit. And we're saved by grace, not by works. But show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You got to have some good works going on. You got to be honoring people in some amazing ways. And your purity. How's your purity today? Are you honoring God with your purity? Just some things to think about. I really want to expand your honor and my honor today. Let's pray together. Father, what a big weekend. What a huge topic. Thank you for those that have gone before us and served and sacrificed. And we experience the benefits of their love of country and love of God. We experience that today. So thank you. We remember them. We celebrate them. We honor them today. And God, as we think about this topic of honor, Lord, on a weekend like this, I tend to think my honor needs increased. My lifestyle of honor daily needs to be better than it's ever been. And so I'm asking you to help me with that. Lord, I don't get to define it. The people around me get to define it. You get to define it. The soldiers, the military men and women, they get to define it, not me. And help me bring myself into their world and understand and then give them honor the way they need to be honored. We pray that for our families, our wife, our husband, our children. We pray that for our neighbors and men and women and boys and girls of every age, of every race all around us. We pray you would help us learn to honor life and value it in all of its forms. And Father, help us become people that you like to honor, people that you will multiply good things in our life because you want to honor us for our faith and our accomplishments and God for our purity. We pray that and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.